13th chapter of John, please.
I originally thought to begin with the first verse of chapter 14 in John, but as I was looking to the Lord this morning, I felt like we should start near the end of the 13th chapter. You realize that chapter divisions were not in the scriptures originally. But we often take a particular chapter and we start with verse 1 as a new thought. And that's not always the case. And I was looking at this in the light that 13th chapter runs right into chapter 14 as a continuation. Let's begin with verse 34 of chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's given them a new commandment that supersedes the old one, I suppose. Anyhow, it's new. It's a new commandment. They haven't actually had this commandment before. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, there's scriptures in the Old Testament that talks about loving one another. But this commandment is different in that he says, you're not only to just love one another, but you're to do it in the same way that I have loved you. You see. And then in verse 35, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So he's talking to his disciples. This is a commandment for his disciples. He looks to his disciples to carry out this commandment. It's their, I don't want to say duty. It's like a charge that he puts on them. This is what you're to do. In other words, it's not negotiable. This is a commandment, and this is what you're to do. Of course, you can't fulfill that commandment, so it must be that the Lord does it through you. We become channels for the Lord to love through us, and this is to be a work or an accomplishment that is done among his disciples, because he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you love one another. That's the proof positive that we love one another. Not the kind of love that we usually think of as brotherly love or caring about one another, but in the same way that he has loved us. So this is a high level love that he's talking about. So this is important. I've often noticed that whenever the Lord spoke something to my heart and I endeavored to believe for it and to make it a reality in my life, oftentimes the opposite thing tends to appear. You know, the Lord says, love one another as I have loved you. And the next thing that happens is that something else comes out of your heart that's the very opposite of the love that he has. And that happens, excuse me, I've noticed for quite some time that there's a lot of hatred that's expressed of all people. And we live in a country where there's freedom of speech. And people tend to use that freedom in a wide sense. They'll use it to not only voice their disapproval and their protest, but they'll use it to turn loose their hate, their anger. And there's so much negative things that are turned loose in this day. And and it's done with, I've got a right to do this type of thing. One thing that people do not realize is another law that the Lord has set in motion. And it's a law that works not only for disciples, it works for all other Christians, and it also works for every human being. And that is a law that's found over in chapter 6 of Galatians. There Paul says, whatsoever man sows, he shall also reap. And that's often said in a different way, what goes around comes around. Whatever you turn loose, that's the thing that's going to come back upon you. And people that are turning loose the hatred, the anger, do not realize that they're turning loose something that's going to come right back upon them. Anger and hatred. And it has a way of piling up. And you say, well, that seems to be going on and on and on. Yeah, that's all right. But the more they send out, eventually it's going to come back upon them and they're going to experience the very thing that they sent out. That's seen very clearly in the 23rd chapter of Matthew with the judgments that were spoken on the Pharisees by Jesus. What you send out is what you're going to get. Now, the Lord Jesus, he knows that principle very well. And so he's telling his disciples, this commandment basically is for your own good. Love one another. Now, if you send out the love, what comes back to you? The love. What emits from your life comes back upon you. And even if it's not spoken, things are emitted. There's an emission from your life. You've heard the saying that what you are speaks louder than what you say. So there's always an emission of something from every individual. And maybe they didn't speak any hatred, but yet it's there in the heart and it just automatically goes out. And at sometime or another, it's going to automatically come back, you see. So what we want to do is learn how to love one another in the same way that the Lord loves us. That's important. Because we determine what we experience. What we are determines what we're going to experience. I woke up during the night. I couldn't sleep. That happens occasionally. I get back into bed and I just cannot go to sleep. And I usually use that time for praying. And last night, the things that were upon my heart, it was like I could... Have you known times when your awareness of things is sharper? And you kind of see beyond the outer facade of things and you see reality a little clearer. And I was thinking, we've been a people... We have been those who have believed very much in the change that can take place in us spiritually. Many Christians believe that their nature, the depth of what they are, cannot be changed until after they die and go to heaven or something. But we don't believe that. We believe that the changes can take place right here. That we can not just be born again as a doctrine, but we can really be born again so that it is His life in us and His life portrayed through us. That we're not doing things that we think, well, how would Jesus do this? Let me see. I'll do it the same way. It's not that kind of thing. It's becoming a channel for Him to do it through you. So we believe very much in change, that His nature can take the place of our human nature, and goodness can come out of that. And as we know, Jesus said, there's none good but God. So we don't want something that qualifies as good by man's opinion. We want the very goodness of God to flow through us, because that's what's going to determine what comes back upon us. His goodness flows through us. His goodness is going to come back upon us, because we're going to reap what we sow. But anyway, thinking of these things and praying, I was very much aware at the same time of my shortcomings. So much of the things of what I am that just has not changed yet. And I guess many Christians go through their Christian life and they're well satisfied with where they are. And oftentimes it's not the awareness of what they really are deep down in their spirit, in their heart. But I don't find it so hard to see the things that I need to be that I'm not. And I'm thinking, we believe so much that the Lord can bring that kind of change. Metamorphosis can take place where that we come into a new life form, and that life form is Him. But yet we see so little of that really seems to be taking place. Oh, there's change taking place in our life, but not to the extent that we need it. And unless we see that, I don't see how we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and all of this righteousness. How that we're going to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we're going to be fulfilled. I don't know how we can do these things except there's an elimination of self, and the Lord Himself begins to come forth in me and He flows through me. And somehow that has to take place. So I'm praying that the Lord teach us how to make this transition. And then at the same time, I know I cannot make this transition. It's something that the Lord has to do. I can't change what I am. Only the Lord can change what I am. But we set our hearts and we take this commandment that He gives us, a new commandment, to love one another as He has loved us. At any rate, we can pray about it, we can repent, we can believe, because that's what it's going to take. Genesis 15, I think it's verse 5, where Abraham believed God, and God counted it for righteousness. So it's the believing counts. What do you believe? And there's where the battle really is. You say, if I can believe it, to him that believes, all things are possible. To him that believes, his nature can be changed. But what happens when we set our hearts to believe? The very opposite, unbelief comes up. And there's always that battle. In every step we take in the Lord, there's a battle between believing and unbelief. We have to determine ourselves, we're going to believe. We're going to cross our very nature. We're going to take this commandment to love one another as He has loved us. And because we come into this, something is going to be expressed through our lives that's going to give evidence to other people that we're His disciples. It's not going to be because we wear a sign over ourselves, I'm a disciple. There won't be any of that. You won't have to tell anybody. You won't have to make an issue of it. You don't have to make a statement of faith. It's just what's going to emanate through us we are his disciples. Huh?
This is the first time I've noticed this in the scripture this time. We know that, like you've been saying, we know that principle, but this time it really hit me. That verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It was that all will know. So I'm thinking, what kind of love is that? That will be so evident so that all will know. Like you're saying, no sign, not I have arrived, I have gotten the love of the Lord, and I just want you to know. It's something. I'm thinking, what kind of love is that? And then it made me think, gosh, that really is like that metamorphosis. It has mm-hmm. to be just a complete change, a complete difference. Something we're not capable of. It's
right.
But the Lord is, because we know, and it makes me also think of that centurion, and I think I said it at some point this morning, I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. But I never saw that this isn't just another greater love, or I'm going to be nicer to everybody, or kind of a difference in human love. This has got to be some kind of love.
It's a love that is life.
Life, and enough that people will know. That's the
Amen.
The thing that amazes me. Okay.
So the Lord gives us commandment, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another in the way that I have loved you. And by this all men shall know that you're my disciples. Then in verse 36, Simon Peter, you notice in the scriptures he's usually the first one to speak up. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Now, up in verse 33, before he gives the commandment, he said, a little while I am with you, and you shall seek me, as I said to the Jews, but where I go, you cannot come. So now I give you this new commandment. And so down here in verse 36, Peter says unto him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And that's about where we are. We have this commandment to love one another. And it's like he's saying, you can't do it now, but afterwards you're going to be able to do it. Peter could not do it apart from the Lord. It was important that the Lord go to the cross, that he ascend, that he come back as spirit and enter into Peter. Then he could. But Peter said to him in verse 37, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Three times you'll deny me before the cock crows. Well, the cock's going to crow early in the morning. So before that happens, Peter's going to deny him three times. And you'll get this commandment, thou shalt love one another as I have loved you. And you set about to do it. Can't be done. You can't do it in yourself. It's just like he's telling Peter that before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. How many times do we deny the Lord? Well, you until he comes forth in your life and he's being expressed through you, you pretty much have denied him all the time. A lot, you see. So he says, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me thrice. But don't let your heart be troubled. You see, you get troubled. I was troubled during the night. Lord, we believe in this change and it doesn't seem to be happening. We believe in your word and it just isn't happening like we feel like it should. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And of course, we know that Greek reads, believe into God and believe also into me. Then he starts saying in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions, or many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go to prepare a place for you. Now, you say, Lord, I want to get into this place with you that I can really love as you have loved me. That what I turn loose is you, and that enables me to receive of you. I want the whole world to know I'm your disciple without me telling them, just because your love is working through me. And he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And the Lord said, I'm preparing that place for you. That place where it can be a reality. That realm in where you're going to experience it. That it's not going to be a labor, but it's going to work because you believe. And if I go and prepare a place for you, or prepare this place for you, I will come again. And that, in the Greek, that's written in present tense. I am coming again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the only way that we can possibly come to the place where we love one another as He has loved us is come to this place that He's prepared for us. That where He is, there we are also. That where we are, there He is also. In other words, that He has come forth in us. And there's where the fulfillment takes place. It's not a place in heaven. It's a spiritual place. It's a relationship. We talked about it in those messages concerning worshiping in spirit and in truth. That everything comes out of relationship. You want to love one another as the Lord loves you? How do you do that? Well, I'm trying my hard as I can to love my brother. I'm having trouble with it. Well, love Him first. Him being the Lord. Love the Lord first. And you're going to find that your love for one another will come out of that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is that you love one another. Love your neighbor. You see, you can't love one another till you love Him first. And we were talking about something like this the other day. You cannot love your family until you love the Lord more than you love them. You can't love one another until you love the Lord more than you love one another. Because it's out of your love for Him that relationships with others are formed and created. So how can we love one another as He loves us? It happens by coming into a relationship with Him. Out of that relationship. And see, and then what happens? You just an automatic flow of what He is and His love that flows out from you. You become like a reservoir. From there flows. I think that's probably what Ezekiel was talking about when he talked about the water that flows out of the temple. And it starts something where that as it flows out of you, boy, it's flowing back. And there's where the increase takes place and the multiplication. You can't help but feel sorry for those who are just turning loose frustration. Turning loose anger, turning loose hatred. There's a scripture and right this minute, I can't remember where it is. Hell enlarges herself and opens her mouth wide. How is it that hell enlarges itself and becomes greater? Because people are constantly turning it loose, and it constantly builds up and builds up until it will consume a whole nation. Except for the fact that God is always going to have a remnant, and they're going to love Him with all their heart, and that's going to overcome. Amen. Bless your hearts.